This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Chico O'Farrell was one of the first composers and arrangers to combine Afro-Cuban sounds with jazz. He grew up in Havana and moved to New York in 1948, where he wrote and arranged for Machito, Dizzy Gillespie, Stan Kenton, and Benny Goodman. O'Farrell returned to Cuba in 1955, moved to Mexico in 57, and stayed there 8 years before returning to New York. During the 70s and 80s, he had to make his living writing and arranging commercial jingles. In 95, he made a jazz comeback and began leading his Afro-Cuban jazz big band. His band often performs in New York under the supervision of his son, pianist Arturo O'Farrell. Chico O'Farrell is now 79. His new CD is called Carambola. I asked him how he first started combining Afro-Cuban rhythms with jazz.
Well, in Cuba, before I came to the United States, there was a group of us who loved jazz. And we found a lot of Cuban music boring, you know, monotonous. So we all dreamed about, you know, having the richness and the excitement of jazz music, harmonies, together with Cuban rhythms, and combine the two so it would be a new kind of music.
You said you found Cuban music boring. Why did you find it boring?
Well, because the Cuban music at the time was, you know, Montuno, so the one phrase that repeated itself at infinitum, you know, same, over and over and over. There was no richness, there was nothing to go to. It was all the same. It was, you know, Montuno, and repeat that for half an hour. So I found that boring.
Norman Granz, the founder of Jazz at the Philharmonic and Verve Records, asked you to write an Afro-Cuban jazz suite for Machito. Charlie Parker ended up on the session because one of the other soloists couldn't make it. So Norman Granz sent for Parker. What was your reaction? Did you think that was good news that Parker was going to be there instead of the person you had planned on?
Well, of course, because Bird at the time was already one of the up-and-coming brilliant minds in the jazz field. So to me, it was a thrill to have somebody like Charlie Parker in that recording.
Well, why don't we hear the solo that he took on your Afro-Cuban jazz suite as recorded in 1950. Chico O'Farrell, were you happy with Charlie Parker's solo?
Oh, yes. Bird was unique. He had a style, a sound, and a concept that were unique. In fact, he was so unique that he influenced a whole collection of sax players to imitate him.
Now, you've re-recorded the Afro-Cuban Jazz Suite on your latest CD.
Yes.
What sounds different in this version than the original?
Well, this version, to a certain extent, preserves the excitement of the original Machito Orchestra rhythm section, whereas the horn sections, to some extent, are better rehearsed and play better than in the original session. So I think our interpretation of this one now is a better interpretation in general than the original one.
Well, let's hear the new version of Chico O'Farrell's Afro-Cuban Jazz Suite. Thank you. That's the opening of the Afro-Cuban Jazz Suite from Chico O'Farrell's new CD, Carambola. You wrote the Afro-Cuban Jazz Suite after you moved to New York. And I'm wondering if you heard Cuban music in a different way once you started living in New York and once you started composing and arranging Afro-Cuban-inspired jazz.
Well, when I came to New York, my whole musical mind changed in a way that I was like a new musician. For one thing, I was listening to some of my idols in person, people like Dizzy Gillespie, Charlie Parker. I was listening to these people in person, which is not the same as listening to records. And so my mind was very much more attuned to this type of thing than when I was living in Cuba.
When you were living in New York in the late 40s and early 50s, you did a lot of arranging for other people's bands.
Yes.
You did some arranging for Machito, for Dizzy Gillespie, for Benny Goodman.
Right.
Stan Kenton.
Yes.
And you've described yourself as the ghostwriter of the ghostwriters.
Yeah, I was the ghost of the ghost.
What did you mean by that?
Well, I'm not going to name names, but certain big name arrangers were writing for Benny Goodman, Gun Bass, and but he didn't write a lot of it. He had a ghostwriter write it. And the ghostwriter eventually, had too much work.
So you were doing ghostwriting for people who were hired to arrange things and weren't getting much credit in the first place.
That's right.
But you must have learned a lot doing that.
Of course I did. That was the main reason I did it, so I was exposed directly to the musical medium that I loved and learn more about it.
Now, I want to play something else from your new CD, Carambola. In fact, I want to play the title track. It's a piece that you wrote for Dizzy Gillespie. When did you write it, and tell us about the occasion for writing this?
Well, this is a piece that, frankly, I don't remember exactly when I wrote it. Sometimes you write and write and write, and you just put it away. And the thing was to... it was a job to do something for the CSP Orchestra, and then it became a fairly big hit for the orchestra. Frankly, there's no particular reason why I wrote that. I just wrote it.
Okay. Well, let's hear it. This is Carambola, the title track of Chico O'Farrell's latest CD. Music from Chico O'Farrell's new CD, Carambola. O'Farrell will be back after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Chico O'Farrell, one of the first musicians to compose and arrange music that combined Afro-Cuban sounds with jazz. He has a new CD called Carambola. What was your ethnic background in Cuba? Where were your parents from?
My father was originally from Ireland. Figure that out. And my mother was originally also from had German background. So I'm a mess, I admit it.
So your father was from Ireland and your mother from Germany? Or from German background?
Not directly, just their background, yes.
Uh-huh. And so what kind of music did they listen to when you were growing up?
I really don't remember much except them listening to Cuban, typical Cuban music. But they didn't listen to much music. They were not music lovers, really. I have to say that.
And what did they think of you listening to and then playing jazz?
They weren't very happy about it. As a matter of fact, I remember when I decided to become a musician, I was supposed to go to law school and become an attorney.
Your father and grandfather were both lawyers.
Right. So I was supposed to become an attorney and follow in the family's footsteps. But one day they said I was going to become a musician and I announced it to the family. And I remember my grandma was very, very austere, saying, "Arturo, if you're going to be a musician, be a good one. Remember Mozart."
So she wanted you to play classical music.
Yeah, she wanted me to do classical music. And for them, jazz, you know, including most popular music, jazz, and all of it was like a little bit vulgar music.
You told Peter Watrous for an article in the New York Times, you said,
yes,
Cuban society has always been very racist. My parents were shocked that I was playing black music. Black musicians rarely played classical music, and white musicians didn't play Afro-Cuban music or jazz. Tell me more about that, about the racial divisions within music in Cuba when you were growing up.
Well, undoubtedly, there was a cultural difference. Like culture there, in every word, painting or literature, or had a side that was purely black and a side that was purely white. Sometimes the two meshed together, but most of the time they stayed separate. Why? Because Cuban society, to a certain extent, was organized, racially speaking, in the same model that it was organized in the United States.
I imagine, judging from this quote, that in Cuba, you were considered white and also upper middle class. When you got to New York and you were playing jazz, do you think that jazz musicians thought of you as white or thought of you as Latino?
Well, I wasn't sure at the time. And to tell you the truth, I didn't care much what they considered me. What I wanted to do was play good music. So I didn't care whether they considered me white or Latin or whatever.
When you started arranging and conducting in New York, I imagine people went to you thinking, well, this is the guy who does the Afro-Cuban jazz stuff, so let's have him do some more Afro-Cuban jazz stuff.
Did you, a steady diet, right.
Did you ever wish that people would just ask you to write straight jazz without the Afro-Cuban rhythms? Did you ever?
Yes, well, once you write something in a certain style, they typecast you, and you are the writer in that particular style. You're the biggest one. Afro-Cuban jazz, for example, I wrote some Afro-Cuban jazz starting with Benny Goodman, with Norman Granzer. Then I became the Afro-Cuban jazz writer.
So was that ever frustrating, being the Afro-Cuban jazz writer as opposed to just the jazz writer?
Well, it's very frustrating because, for example, I can write for Count Basie, Stan Kenton, Benny Goodman. I could write for any kind of American music, you know, any kind of jazz music. But then they pigeonhole you and put you there, and that's it.
Are you still composing now?
Yes, of course. I never stop composing. I'm writing things for my orchestra right now, and we're planning on doing a new record pretty soon.
I want to play another track from your new CD. And this is called Crazy City, But I Love It. What's the city that this composition is about?
Well, guess. Yes, Chicago? Nah. Toronto? Nah.
Havana or New York?
How about New York? Try New York.
New York, okay.
Yeah, of course.
And what were the impressions of New York you wanted to capture in this piece?
I wanted to capture the musical sounds as well, the feeling of the city, and the mixture of Latin and jazz rhythms, which is so typically unique of New York.
So let's hear it. This is Crazy City, But I Love It. Well, this piece is called Crazy City, parentheses, dot, 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 But I Love It. Did you always love New York when you moved there, or did it take you a while to adjust to it?
No, I love it. The first minute I walked in here, I loved it.
How come?
there was something about the atmosphere. It was such a dynamic city, such a vibrant city. And especially because I was in love with jazz at the time, and this was the center of jazz, it became the center of my activities, so I loved it.
Thank you so much. I love your music, and I wish you the best.
Thank you, and I thank the public for listening to me, and you all have a good time.
So here's Crazy City from Chico O'Farrell's new CD, Carambola. This is Fresh Air.